Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS Radio, sitting here in the Vintage Nude Studio with Michael Goudeau and a very special guest. A while ago, we had Phil Plate, the bad astronomer, on to argue with Joe Rogan about landing on the moon. Discuss with Joe Rogan about landing on the moon, and I really thought that Joe didn't have a chance because, you know, he was wrong and stuff. And then Joe came in with this combination, this perfect combination of aggression and humility that seemed to be almost unbeatable. A real kind of honest, looking for the truth, coupled with very, very quick thinking and a lot of knowledge. And we didn't feel that the discussion about landing on the moon was over. So now we have Joe Rogan live in the studio.
Well, I hope you got some extra time, because it's not going to be over today either.
Okay.
It's going to go on for years. I'm going to haunt you, Phil.
The last thing Joe Rogan said was, "I'm not done with you, bitch." So he's not done. Now we have Phil on the phone. We won't put these two in the same room.
Yeah, man. How come you're ducking me, bro? I flew all the way to Vegas.
I don't want to hurt you, Joe.
So I guess Joe started last time on the phone with explaining his questions about
What I want to say to anybody who is listening to this, who's like,
and we're starting with Joe again.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna a disclaimer. I will let you start for sure.
No,
I'm not
go
gonna
ahead.
Make any points.
I'm ready for you.
All I'm saying, and all I said before is, I am not claiming to be a scientist. I am not claiming to be anybody who's got any secret knowledge. I'm not claiming that I know something you don't. All I'm saying is I'm not afraid of looking ridiculous, and I think a lot of people are. And I think when you look at all this evidence, a lot of people look at it and they go, well, of course we landed on the moon, and they don't want to look any further, and they stop right there. What I'm saying is the more I look at stuff, the more I see inconsistencies. I see all kinds of weird behavior from the astronauts. I see all sorts of weird photographic anomalies. I saw all sorts of weird stuff with radiation. There's a lot of weird stuff. And one of the reasons why I wanted to come on the radio with you is because I wanted to be able to ask someone about these things, because all I'm getting is what I'm getting online. And I know you run a debunking website, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is that what you do for a living?
That would be badastronomy.com for all of you in front of a computer. No, I don't do it for a living, actually. I create educational activities for students, actually.
Have you ever worked for NASA, or are you employed by them in any way?
Not officially. I worked at Goddard Space Flight Center for a few years, which is a NASA center, but I was a contractor. I worked for a company, not NASA. I've never been a civil servant.
And
Bart Sabrell, one of these big moon hoax guys, he went on the air once and accused me of having a NASA paycheck, which is not true. I've never had a NASA paycheck. And then a couple of years ago, I went back to Goddard after I stopped working there about 5 years ago. A couple of years ago, I went back to give a talk, and they reimbursed me, and I actually had a NASA check with my name on it. I thought, oh, damn, you've got me now.
Now Phil, last time, Joe called up and just kind of said the stuff that was troubling him about the moon landing. Since you're on the phone this time, you're going to go first, which I believe is the harder position that Joe did last time. And just tell us to start out why you think what the big signs are that we landed on the moon.
Right. This is a funny position to be in because, you know, say, prove that this happened. I was like, how do you do that? How do I prove that you exist? You know, I can't even do that. You're just a voice on the other end. So it's, you know, you have to just sort of say at some point there's overwhelming evidence that this stuff really happened. You know, it'd be silly to deny it at that point. And I think with the moon landings, you're sort of in that category. And that is, we have all the pictures. We have all the people who worked on it. We have all the historical documentation. And what's going to happen is in any project of this magnitude, and I mean this was one of the largest projects ever undertaken. There were, I've heard different estimates, but something like 400,000 people involved with it, and that there are going to be things that you're going to scratch your head over and say, how could this possibly have happened? Typically that stuff just comes into, you know, why did somebody behave this way? Why did that sort of thing happen? In the case of the moon hoax, the people on the other side, if I can say that, they have what they call, you know, the photographs and all that kind of stuff. And we talked about that before. We can, you know, we can get into that again if we want. But the question is then, what is it that I can present? And one of the things is that there is hard physical evidence of this. There, for example, The astronauts, over the course of six missions, brought back 800 pounds of rocks and dust from the moon. And this stuff is really weird. I mean, it's clearly not formed on the Earth. You can go through all the scientific analysis and say, yes, this stuff clearly was formed in a low-gravity, waterless environment. It has all of the telltale signs of having spent time in an atmosphereless, does that even make sense, an airless environment. This stuff's been looked at by scientists from all over the world, and they all look at it and say, yeah, that's from the moon.
All right, can I stop you right there for a second?
Yeah, sure, let's go.
First of all, Wernher von Braun went to Antarctica in 1967 in the height of the moon race and collected moon rocks from Antarctica. Isn't that true? Like hundreds of pounds.
I have heard...
There's photographs of him. There's videos of him there. There's moon rocks that they brought back. There's video of them carrying stuff back. He went in 1967, 2 years before Apollo.
I have not seen the documentation for this, and I've looked around, but I haven't.
You haven't seen the photographs of him in Antarctica? You haven't seen? I mean, that's very clear. That's all.
Are they online? I can look that up.
Absolutely. I can't believe you don't know that. You don't.
Well,
you haven't heard that argument that Wernher von Braun was in Antarctica.
It.
Why would he go to Antarctica in the middle of the most heated technological race in human history, and he's at the helm of it for the United States of America, and he's going to Antarctica and he's bringing back rocks?
I've heard this story too, but I've honestly I have not found a lot of stuff about this. And
that's ridiculous. It's
rocks,
all over the internet. It's all over everywhere. It's been documented.
Well,
I've seen
it's
videos.
All over the
Not conspiracy sites. It's all over legitimate sites. I've seen it on a bunch of different sites. It's documented. Wernher von Braun was in Antarctica in 1967, 2 years before Apollo. And he was bringing back rocks.
Okay, then
not only that, he was a Nazi. A huge, evil Nazi war criminal who, by the way, the Simon Wiesenthal Center said would be prosecuted for crimes against humanity if he was alive today, for sure.
He worked for the Nazis. I don't think he was a Nazi. That's a whole
other story. Wernher von Braun ran a rocket factory where they hung the five slowest workers a day in front of the rocket factory. There's people that have talked about it. There's guys that have showed their tattoos and discussed it.
And seen
Wernher von Braun walk by as they were working.
Von Braun.
Just to jump in here, totally separate from any moon hoax site, I just pulled up with a quick search many pictures of Wernher von Braun in Antarctica.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird that you would dispute that. I don't understand
that. I'm not disputing it. As a matter of fact, here, now that I see one here, there is actually a picture of von Braun in Antarctica on the Marshall Space Flight Center site, which is a NASA site. So it says this photo was made on or about January 7, 1967. Mm-hmm. Well, then I have a question for you. If they were to fake the moon landings and there were some people in there and that were going to do this, why would they send von Braun to Antarctica? Why would they take pictures of von Braun and then why would they say, look, von Braun went to Antarctica? Why even do that? If this is going to be a secret thing and you're going to go to Antarctica to collect rocks, it doesn't make sense to send your rocket.
There's
engineer.
A lot of things that don't make sense, but the fact is he was in Antarctica. He did bring back moon rocks.
They brought back some meteorites.
From the moon.
They didn't bring, I don't think they brought back hundreds of pounds from
they
what
brought
I'm
back
reading
hundreds
here.
Of pounds. If you find it, it's available all over the place.
Okay, well, I'm just going to have, I'll just grant you that. There are...
but isn't that weird? Doesn't that seem weird to you? That first of all, they would lie to the public and they have this evil Nazi running the United States of America's space program. And 2 years before we go to Apollo 11, 2 years before that, this guy's in Antarctica collecting rocks from the moon.
Well, what does his being a Nazi have to do with anything?
Well, they're lying, first of all. They're bringing back this evil criminal from Germany, and they're having him work for America. They're slicking his hair back and making him look nice in a suit, and this guy's an evil piece of crap.
It was never really hidden that he was a Nazi. I think it was downplayed because
Wernher von Braun was a Nazi.
I'm not going to say he was a Nazi. I know
you
he
denied
worked for
it,
the Nazis
Phil.
At Pina Mundi.
You denied it.
I denied what?
You denied that he was a Nazi.
When he first said Nazi, you denied it. So you didn't say, you said no one
I don't
denied
mean,
it.
I don't mean to say that he's not a Nazi or is a Nazi. I'm saying that I don't know if he was a Nazi.
Well, I'm saying he's a Nazi.
For sure.
I'm saying he's a Nazi.
at their rocket plant. He was building rockets for the Nazis, the V-2, which was used to bomb London.
Well, dude, he wore the Nazi uniform.
Machine.
What do you have to do to be a Nazi? Do you have to have video of you cutting a Jew's head off? What do you have to do?
No, but there were Jews who were working in the rocket plant too. They weren't Nazis, and they were working.
They were slaves, dude. This guy wasn't a slave. He was at
and
the head
I'm
of the
saying,
program.
I'm saying that Von Braun's history is, well, A, I don't think it's that clear over whether he agreed with Hitler. I don't think he did.
Are you a Von Braun apologist?
No.
This is getting weirder and weirder.
But what you're doing is you're sort of poisoning the well here. You're calling
him a Nazi. No. What I'm doing is I'm pointing out that the government did something really evil. They brought back a criminal, a horrible person, and they had him run America's space program.
Well, they rescued
all of
these.
That's a horrible lie.
They rescued all of these rocket scientists and brought them to America, and they were all really, really happy to leave, from what I've read.
Well, that
they were not
because they were
going
to get nuked.
Being there with the Nazis.
It was either get nuked, get killed in war, or come over and live nice in Cape Canaveral.
But it doesn't matter. The point is
that does matter. That's a huge point.
Oh, I don't agree. I think you know what his history was.
Could you not agree that doesn't show massive amounts of deception on the part of the United States government?
The U.S. government has massive amounts of deception every day. It doesn't mean that everything they do is
well,
a lie.
You know, that's part of my whole point. Let's move off the Nazi thing. We got Phil Price,
right,
who's from badastronomy.com, and we have Joe Rogan, who's the host of Fear Factor, one of my favorite comedians. Have you ever seen Joe live, Phil, while you're at it?
Not live, okay. No. I've seen some clips.
One of the best stand-ups
website.
I've ever seen. Fabulous. And he just is just shocking me to death, because when he first talked about this moon landing thing, I thought it was a weird little quirk that he had. He just knows so goddamn much about it.
Well, here's the thing, man. I'm not crazy, but I just want to explain this. I don't look for stuff like this. I didn't want this to come up. I'm not like the guy who's trying to find, like, you know, I see all sorts of retarded arguments in these conspiracy theorists. I see them left and right. I see retarded arguments in any kind of conspiracy, whether it's 9/11 or who shot Kennedy. Oh, it's the driver. He turned around. There's all sorts of retarded stuff. But there's stuff that makes sense. And you can't throw it all out. And when you look at it all, when you look at the giant picture, there's so much wrong with the Apollo missions. There's so much wrong. Massive, massive amounts of stuff that doesn't make sense. And that's why I'm a busy person. I'm not looking into this because I'm bored. I'm looking into this because I was really disturbed. I mean, and the deeper I went, the more I realized there's something really wrong going on here.
Okay, so we covered the
moon rocks.
Moon rocks.
No,
we
got
yet.
An explanation. We have a
Hang
plausible
on.
Explanation
we,
for moon
we
rocks.
Got a little sidetracked with the whole Nazi thing.
Right, you did. So let's go on with the moon rocks.
The arguments against Von Braun, that you brought up, Von Braun went to Antarctica. Why would you send your rocket scientist
I don't
there?
Know, but he was there. I don't know, but he was there
second
and he brought
all,
back rocks.
Second of all, he was there in 1967 or 1968.
67.
It wasn't until 1969 that Japanese scientists first identified Antarctica as having a lot of meteorites. So it doesn't make sense that, you know, if he went there 2 years before, it was even understood that meteorites went there. I don't know why he went there. I don't think it was to pick up meteorites. And even if he did, that wouldn't have been enough time for them to prepare these rocks and get them to
How
make
do you
it
know
look
that?
Like Neil Armstrong put them up. There's
How
not enough time
that?
Because the rocks that come from the moon look very different than the lunar meteorites that are found on the surface of the Earth.
Right, but didn't the Soviet Union bring back lunar meteorite samples, and didn't they do it with an unmanned craft? And didn't the samples that the United States government sent out for independent verification, those are very small samples, tiny, sugar cube sized.
No, you can get bigger slices than that. And
but where are they? You know, it's a federal crime to be in possession of moon rocks. Why do you think that would be?
Because there's only 800 pounds of them, and it cost $35 billion to get them. If you want to examine bigger ones, you have to go to NASA to do that, where they've got these things stored in very, very scientifically controlled conditions.
Have you been there?
Oh, man, no. They don't let, you know, flunkies like me in there. They let real geologists
in. They let me in.
Well,
I was in there in the bunny suit and the whole deal. It was
That's right.
pretty awesome.
I don't think this proves anything either way, but what I am saying is that any government that'd be willing to lie about having a Nazi run their space program, I think they'd be willing to lie about moon rocks.
I don't think anybody lied about him being a Nazi. I think it was public knowledge. I think everybody knew it. I think they said, this is the best rocket scientist in the world, and we should damn well take advantage of the fact.
Was it public knowledge to the American public?
Yes, I believe it was.
I think they may have downplayed it. I don't think they lied about it, but I can't say either way. But the point is, the meteorites look different that came from the meteorites come from Antarctica look different than the moon rocks. They re-entered through the Earth's atmosphere, and so they have
the ones that have been independently verified.
The Russians did bring back. They had a sample return mission. I think it was Zond 5. It was one of their missions that went to the moon and brought back. It was like 100 grams. It was a very, very small sample because it's hard to bring back a lot. And, chemically and all of that, they were identical to, or at least, close enough to what was found on the moon. And they're different than what's found on the Earth. And you got to realize, too, it's not just NASA apologists, if you want to say that, who have looked at these samples. These have been sent all over the world. And people have looked at them and said, yes, we can see that these things did not form on the Earth, so they must have formed on the moon.
Right, but isn't it possible that they could have done this with unmanned probes just like the Russians did?
Well, you're arguing.
I think at some
you're
point you're stretching it
here,
so far.
Joe,
at that
right?
point, it's like it's just easier to send a guy there and pick him up.
Right, but you're
I'm arguing two things.
Joe's arguing two points, and that's one of the things Joe's doing is he's just asking questions. On the one hand, you're saying the moon rocks could have been entirely faked. On the other hand, you're saying
Wernher von Braun was
up
in Antarctica collecting moon rocks.
Right, but you're also saying they could have been picked up by unmanned.
Either one is a possibility.
But those are mutually exclusive.
They are mutually exclusive, and both of them do cancel out the absolute proof that moon rocks came from the moon.
Well, I think you could find several thousand geologists from all over the world, including countries who have no reason to support America, who look at these things and say they're legitimate.
Maybe.
And von Braun was in Antarctica before. And von Braun was in Antarctica before it was known that there were meteorites in Antarctica.
Before the Japanese knew, is that absolutely? Were the Japanese the first to discover it? And was it a big thing, or was it thought about that beforehand? I mean, was it something that was previously assumed?
Well, at that point, I don't know. I don't know the details of that sort of level.
Well, then there's no argument about the Japanese being the first to discover it because it was previously assumed, and they just had to go there and find them. Then maybe the Japanese were the first to verify it. That's not good enough.
I'm just thinking about that. This is a direction of argument that I've never really considered before.
Well, that seems odd.
I can't give you any more details because I don't know the story about.
Okay, but either way, I'm saying
that's
not proof enough. That's not proof positive.
But
it's
I think at some point you just have to say, Wernher von Braun going to Antarctica to collect these is ridiculous. You have a high-profile guy. It's public knowledge. He's going there. Pictures on the NASA
site. I'll tell you what's ridiculous. Wernher von Braun going to Antarctica in the middle of the moon race.
I don't know.
That's
ridiculous. In an expedition to see what it was like. I mean, they traveled all over the world in different conditions
to see
what things were like there. So.
I believe that if you're going to plan a gigantic deception such as this, you do it in advance. And I think entirely possible, if you wanted to look at it from that point of view, that they were doing that. And again, I'm not saying that they did it. I'm not saying that they faked anything. I have zero idea.
The biggest dog you have to
get
the rocks.
Even if you do that, though, it just doesn't hold water.
You would not send Wernher von Braun to get the rocks.
Maybe you would.
Yeah, you just don't
do that. Maybe he wanted to go. Maybe he's hands-on. Maybe he wanted to be there. Maybe he insisted. Who knows? There's no argument either way.
Nah, you'd send some guy.
No. You don't know who you would send. You don't know his personality. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what he insists on. He could have gone.
Once again, the book discussion between Phil and Joe is astonishing to me. It just goes so much different than I think it's going to. It makes such weird bounces. We're going to do more
because
of that.
You thought I was crazy.
I thought you were completely crazy.
But it makes sense.
The way you're holding your own is breathtaking. It's just
you
fabulous.
Don't have to be crazy to believe in the moon hoax theory.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We have Joe Rogan, the host of Fear Factor, great stand-up. Terrific guy. We have Phil Plait, also a terrific guy. And this is the definition of the marketplace of ideas here with Ben Jillette on CBS Radio Free FM. CBS CBS Radio, Free FM. I'm Penn Jillette. Mike Gudo is also here. Let's get right to it as quickly as we can. Joe Rogan from Fear Factor asking questions of Phil Plait about landing on the moon. Did we do it or didn't we do it? Joe's just got questions. What's the next thing you want to open up? Who wants to take it? Phil, what other evidence would you say says we've landed on the moon?
Well, a couple of big things, and the problem with most conspiracies is that you kind of pick away at the details, but you kind of forget the big picture, like the fact that there were 400,000 people working on this Apollo mission, and if it had been faked, if it had been faked because, and you have to ask yourself, why would they fake it? And generally, it's because and there was no way they could engineer these rockets. They couldn't go through the Van Allen belts. They couldn't go to the moon, whatever. These engineers knew what they were doing. These were the best, and I mean the best people that the U.S. could find. And if they were building machines that could not perform the way they wanted them to, they would have known it. If the rocket wouldn't have been able to get to the moon, they would have known it. If they couldn't have landed on the moon, they would have known it. The radiation issues, the same thing. And so it's sort of the same. When you look at, like, when you look at Lewinsky Gate a few years back, right? I hope I can use the word.
Yeah.
If Bill Clinton's getting a hug in the Oval Office, right? Who knew about it? Clinton, Lewinsky, Linda Tripp, and most likely Hillary. You have four people who knew about this, and yet the news broke in like what, a year? And the same with Watergate. You know, this was a huge conspiracy that started small, and even the small stuff couldn't be kept hidden. And so there's just, you know, I think it was Ben Franklin who said, three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. And it's the same sort of thing here, except you're talking about a huge number of people that would not possibly have kept quiet. You know, there have been no deathbed confessions. There have just been anybody who could, you know,
okay,
I could make a million
bucks
going on. I could go on Oprah for $1 million and okay, say the moon landings are fake.
Okay,
I would say,
you know,
I would
nobody's
say,
done that.
I would say that this is, to me, the most compelling argument is, how do you shut all those people up? And what bothers you about that argument, Joe?
Well, it is a very compelling argument. What bothers me about it is that I know that in government, and especially in something as huge as NASA, things are very compartmentalized. You're not privy to all the information about the entire project that you're working on. You are given information on a need-to-know basis. If it is your job to design O-rings, you are designing O-rings. You don't get the data and the blueprints for the entire Saturn V rocket setup. You don't get all that information. The very people at the very top of the food chain knew about it. And isn't it a little odd that a couple days before Apollo 11 launched, the head of NASA resigned? Don't you find that a little odd?
Not necessarily.
That's crazy. This guy's been working on this his whole life. This is a monumental technological achievement. They're about to put a person on another planet. And this guy says, I quit.
That
I don't want to do it anymore.
Was that James Webb?
Why do you think he would quit?
I don't know. Why do you
Maybe because he doesn't want to be a part of a hoax.
But why didn't he come out against it?
Why do you want to get killed? I don't want to get killed. I mean, look, if you believe, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists believe that they killed Gus Grissom because he hung a lemon on outside the LEM. He put a lemon on a hanger and hung it outside the lunar module. He was dead in a horrible fire shortly thereafter.
That's a very typical conspiracy claim about
this
lemon thing.
But is it not true that he hung a lemon outside the lunar module? And
is
it not
true
that our government is filled with evil, murdering liars?
Our government is filled with honest,
evil,
hardworking
murdering liars
well.
At the top of the helm. There's a reason
okay,
why we're in
on.
Iraq, and it's for money.
Hang on.
And people
now,
are dying for it. And it's the same people. And that's the same type of people that would be willing to kill astronauts. I'm not saying they did it, but I'm saying it's possible.
One big problem with Apollo moon hoax conspiracy theories is that a lot of stuff is stated as absolute fact, when in fact it isn't. For example...
Well, it is an absolute fact that he put a lemon on a hanger and hung it over the lemon, and it's an absolute fact that he burned to death
in that lemon.
He did hang a lemon on. That
to
was
say it was
the communications issues they were having.
He was saying this thing wasn't going to work.
He's
been quoted many times as saying that the whole problem, the whole program's in jeopardy, and he didn't think it was going to work. He thought the thing was a lemon.
He didn't think the whole thing was a lemon. He was having certain issues with some of the subsystems.
If he was just having issues with subsystems, why would he put a lemon, publicly put a lemon on a hanger and hang it on the lunar module? That is a monstrous statement from the number one astronaut in the country.
Yeah, Gus Grissom was a pain in the butt to a lot of people. He was a loud, you know, guy, very forceful personality.
That sounds like the kind of guy I would kill.
And
if I was running things,
getting, okay, put the EFI word is probably better.
If
than
I was
this.
Running,
they
for,
were
no,
doing
no,
they were doing some tests, and the communication systems weren't working right because they were these guys were working day in and day out, and it wasn't working right. And he got really frustrated, and he hung a lemon in there, and he was actually yelling something about how are we supposed to get to the moon if we can't talk between two buildings?
Right now, and if they're willing to kill Gus Grissom, I'm not saying they did. If they are willing to kill Gus Grissom, would they not kill the guy with the big mouth who designs the O-rings? Of course they would.
If they're going to kill Gus Grissom and Chaffee and White as well, are they going to do it in the most publicly humiliating way that they possibly could, which almost destroyed the Apollo program and made NASA look really, really bad? Or,
2 years later, they were on the moon.
Would they have thrown a toaster in his bathtub?
It didn't even set them off for a hitch. 2 years later, they were on the moon. They showed that they could do it. They showed that if you're going to kill a guy and you're going to kill him inside the lunar module on the launch pad, that's going to show who did it.
The Apollo 1 fire was a crippling blow to NASA. It ground the program to a halt for months and months where they couldn't get any work
done. How can you say that when 24 months later they were on the moon?
I think he just conceded defeat there.
67? Who, me?
No. Joe just said 2 years later they were on the moon.
But yeah, were you saying that they did?
2 years later they were on the moon. I think we're done. So cue the music.
Not that easy,
no,
bitch.
Because the test that they were doing, you got to realize that the hardware was already pretty close to being finished. Now they did have to redesign the hatch, and they did have to redesign a lot of the stuff, and that slowed things down. But they were still able to put all this stuff together, and it doesn't make sense that they would kill him in such a public way.
Okay,
you throw a toaster in the guy's bathtub.
Well,
you know,
I disagree entirely. They shot Kennedy in the middle of the street. I disagree entirely.
I think we may be done here.
We're not done here.
I do want to get back to James Webb here for a second. James Webb was the head of NASA. He was the NASA administrator, like the way Mike Griffin is now. Now, he did not resign days before Apollo 11.
When did he
actually resigned. I looked it up in September of 1968. So it was almost an entire year before Apollo 11. Now, this was right before...
Is that true? Because I read online that he resigned days before.
Well, yeah, it depends on where you read. You know, you could read conspiracy sites, you can read stuff that's based in reality. So you got to do that too.
Well, no. I have gone way out of my way to read only pro NASA sites so that I didn't get any BS.
Well, let's see here. James Webb, NASA retired. And I should spell NASA right, because if I spell it in BASA, I'm probably going to get something weird. JWST.NASA.gov says Webb retired just a few months before the moon landing.
That's what I'm talking about.
James Webb retired from NASA on October 7th, 1968. That's the National Air and Space Museum website. So it was about a year before Apollo 11, and the reason is because he was a Democratic appointee from, I guess, Lyndon Johnson. It might have been Kennedy. And it was looking overwhelmingly like in 68 Nixon was going to get elected. And it is very common in these situations for the heads of agencies to submit their resignation in these situations. I thought it was after the election. This was evidently right before it.
That's a possible answer, or it could be that he didn't want to go along with a hoax. That's another possible answer.
I would agree with you if there were more compelling evidence for
it. Well, there's no need for more compelling evidence. All it does is throw – it is circumstantial, but it does throw doubt.
Now, Joe, how many people – just can you – you obviously can't answer this, but I'm asking for your feelings. How many people would you say would have to be in on the conspiracy, would have to know it was a lie?
That's a very good question. I have zero answer for
you. But just your feeling.
I don't know.
I
don't understand how it works. I don't understand how the program works. I really don't. I look at it all and I say, well, I know there was a bunch of crazy stuff that they did. I know. If you know that they had a gigantic set that was a duplicate of the surface of the moon that they were practicing on, and they were taking all these videos and they were taking all these photographs, there's photographs of these guys on cranes. There's photographs of the limb dangling from a crane. There's photographs of these guys, like, simulated low moon gravity, where they had harnesses on and they're bouncing around on wires. There's all these photographs of this setup that they had. Now, if they were filming this setup and filming pretending, and there's also absolute proof that there was a satellite in orbit, and this satellite in orbit was beaming back information, they were sending it to practice what they were going to receive from the guys on the moon. Now, if they already had all this video in place, they already had all these simulation footages, and you're talking about some grainy, low-resolution stuff, that's all we have access to, how many people really did have to know? I don't know. But I think a few. I mean, it would have to be a couple dozen. It would have to be the people at the very top. Would they be able to keep their mouth shut? I don't know. I go back and forth on what people are capable of, and then I go back and forth on what people are capable of in government. Look, there's got to be a ton of people at the very top of the CFR, at the very top of the World Banking, that know what's going on with globalization, that know what's going on with, you know, the push by these banks for one gigantic global government so they can control everything. I mean, that's an absolute fact that that's all going on right now. How many people know about that, and how many people are blowing the whistle? Very few. So if they can keep their mouth shut about that, they can keep their mouth shut about anything. If it's just a few dozen people, I don't know. I don't know how many people it is. And these people would think that it would be a patriotic thing to do. You're talking about the height of the Cold War. You're talking about the Red Scare. We're afraid of Russia. There's this big thing. We want to show technological superiority over the Russians, over the Soviets. So it's possible that they would do this and think that they were being patriotic doing it.
And yet the next day, there was an article in the Russian newspaper that said Americans walk on the moon. And the Russians never doubted it.
I don't know.
The Soviets, not the Russians.
I don't know whether or not our wars with other countries, whether or not our propaganda, whether or not these arguments are all real, or whether it's the puppet on the left and the puppet on the right. I don't know who's at the helm of all this stuff. I don't know how it all works. I don't. But when I look at this whole gigantic picture, it smells.
We're going to take it on the smell. We're going to take a little break. The one you're hearing said the word smell. That's Joe Rogan, of course, the host of Fear Factor, and a great stand-up, and just a great guy. And Phil Plait, a great astronomer, is on the phone. We're talking about the moon landing. Mike Godot is sitting here. My name is Penn Jillette. We'll be back with more of this, because I think clearly we're not done with either of these bitches. This is Penn Jillette, CBS Radio, Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, CBS Radio, Free FM. I'm sitting with Michael Godot. Also, at my home is Joe Rogan, the host of Fear Factor, who just has, this is a technique for debating that should be studied. Joe has the most aggressive and yet humble style I've ever seen anyone use. It's really terrific, and he's talking to Phil Plait, who has said to me many times when I've talked to him about my friend Joe Rogan, the questions he had, just let me talk to him. We'll clear this up quickly. That's what we're trying to do. Phil, I want to give you a chance to kind of lead this, because Joe's got books open here. I'm just warning you. Joe's got books open. What topic would you like to deal with on the moon landing thing next?
One of those books isn't mine, is it?
I've read all your site.
One thing about this, too, is that in a lot of conspiracy theories, the evidence is always circumstantial. And so you can say, what if this, what if this, and you can sort of what if yourself right into a corner. But with the moon landings, there is actually objective evidence that machines went to the moon and that men went with them. And one of them is that people observed this stuff. There are levels of the conspiracy theory where they say the rocket went up and they just dumped it in the Atlantic. I actually argued with a guy. One of the guys was actually the producer of the Fox TV show, the conspiracy theory show that came out in 2001. He said that. He said the rockets never even went into space. And I laughed and said, there were people who stood on their front porches and watched the Apollo satellites passing overhead as they did that. So that doesn't work so well. But in fact, these Apollo missions, like Apollo 8, as they went to the moon, they were tracked by ground-based telescopes. If you go on the web and look up Apollo 8 fuel dump, you will actually find pictures of these taken through telescopes. Mm-hmm. Ham radio operators were actually able to track these missions to the moon. And the thing about those is that's a directional signal. If the machines didn't actually go to the moon, then the ham radio operators wouldn't have been able to
come up there. That doesn't prove that there was people in
them. How do the ham radio operators track this? I just don't understand the technology.
I don't either.
Okay.
I'm throwing this out there.
But you don't understand it. Then what do you mean? How can you?
From what I have read,
online,
you have to pick up
on my website.
Yeah, on your website,
on my message board. That's where you get all that.
So,
that is where you got it, huh?
But these things. But it was also tracked by Australia. There's a very cute movie called The Dish, which is not hugely historically accurate. It's like a collection of a bunch of different things that really happened and all kind of slapped together.
But Phil, I got to stop you right there.
But in fact, the Australians had their telescopes viewing this. And you could say, well, maybe this just means that we sent rockets to the moon.
Because we did.
But then the thing gets a little bit more complicated, because one thing that the Apollo astronauts did, several of them did, and they did this on Apollo 11, is they left things on the moon like these retro reflectors.
So did the
and
Soviets. The Soviets did it twice, with Lunokhod and Lunokhod 2, with you know, unmanned lunar probes. They left two laser reflectors that you could send a laser up to right now.
The laser
two.
Reflectors,
one of them is functional, one of them doesn't work so well.
I think one of them got covered with dust or didn't get placed correctly or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And,
so that proves nothing.
For the Russians.
That's the same thing, as the moon rocks argument.
Hang on. When you are putting one of these things on the moon, if you know you're going to be putting it with a robot, then you have to design it so that it has a fail-safe, so that it gets put in there correctly. Or you have some way of watching over it so you know the robot's doing this correctly. If you're just going to do this with people, and these things look like giant ice cube racks. They're just like
huge.
Yeah,
I've seen them. But Phil, the brand designer.
These aren't people in a sweatshop sewing, you know,
they're scientists.
Top engineers, and they're managers and managers above them that does all these things together.
I hate to help Joe on this, but on the Challenger, Richard Feynman did point out very clearly on the O-rings that there was a problem with a too strong hierarchy at NASA, and the people at the bottom were not speaking up and did not have communication up to the top there.
Yeah, and that's what, 1989? Was that?
I don't know, there's going to be a quiz.
Challenger was 86. 86?
Yeah, I just graduated high school.
Also,
right.
I'm blanking. I think it was 86. But that's when there was a problem in the pieces they were making.
Right.
And so what I'm not saying that people aren't going to report it. I'm saying that what this does is this opens up all of these managers who are in charge of this thing would have been able to see that there was a problem. It's not that there was an upwards whistleblowing hierarchy that was stifling people from talking. It's just that you're just involving more and more people in on this conspiracy, and at some point, conspiracies fall apart of their own weight.
Now, Joe, I want to ask you a question that you touch upon all the time, and you jump right to evil and wars and this kind of stuff. But on a little more lower level, what is really the motive here? I mean, if you have nuclear bombs, you can bomb them back into the Stone Age, you have all these missiles. Why show off to the world that we can land a man on the moon?
I think to win the Cold War, or to try to give some sort of perceived victory in the Cold War, perceived victory of technological superiority over the Soviet Union. And I don't know whether or not it happened. I still am not convinced one way or another. But you are certainly not convincing me that we went, not by any stretch of the imagination, especially since the last time anybody even did a flyby of the moon was 1972.
That's correct.
Silly.
That was Apollo 17.
That's silly.
Now, Phil, how much would it cost? I mean, just ballpark. How much would it cost now in 2007 to send Joe to the moon? If we got together with the Amazon guy and all that.
Well, lacking Jackie Gleason to actually hit him to the moon. I don't know. I mean, the people who are putting together these rockets, like Jeff Bezos with Amazon and Berenson and Spaceship One, these are all rockets that are being designed to go into low Earth orbit. Mm-hmm. And it takes a huge amount more to get to the moon. You basically have to double the energy you give to the rocket to get it from low Earth orbit to the moon. And that means a vast amount more fuel. And that's why it took a rocket like the Saturn V, which was this enormous beast, to get up there. And so, you know, to do this, we're basically starting from scratch. We could rebuild the Saturn V. We could do all that. But the technology is a lot better now, so it's better just to start from scratch.
But wait a minute. Why would you start from scratch if you already did it successfully 6 times out of 7 attempts, Apollo 13 being the only one that didn't land on the moon? Well, if that's 1969 technology, I mean, wouldn't just small improvements
Well, no, I mean, you've got the knowledge of what happened then, but the technology itself has gotten a lot better.
The
Apollo
landings are the only technological achievement in human history that is not easier, cheaper, and faster to duplicate than it was in 1969.
Well, NASA is a government agency.
That's not good enough. That's craziness. They take the space shuttle up all the time. Not only that, the space shuttle is more expensive, and it's not as powerful as a Saturn V rocket.
You got to realize that NASA has to bend to government will. The space shuttle was never meant to be initially the way it is now. It's a platypus, is a mouse designed by the government. The space station was originally supposed to be lean and mean, and it's going to do all these things. But then every congressman wanted his fingers in it. You know, we're going to build this here in my district, and then it got huge and it cost hundreds of billions. And it's just,
but we're not talking about the space station. We're talking about the space shuttle.
And the shuttle's the same way. Now, what happened, you know...
But the shuttle goes up all the time.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do one flyby of the moon? They couldn't figure out a way... Why would they go backwards?
It's not designed to go to the moon.
But no human being ever, since the Apollo astronauts, has gone more than 400 miles up.
That's about right, yeah.
That's ridiculous. 260,000 miles there and back, and the best they can do since 1972 is 400 miles?
Yeah. And now, while you're saying it's ridiculous because you can't believe it, I think it's ridiculous because I can believe it very well.
But it's not like they're not spending money. And they keep talking about going back, but they talk about going back in 2020. Why go back in 2020 when you could just... Well, that's the other problem. They don't have the telemetry data from the Apollo 11. Isn't that like the most important data? Isn't that like the most important thing? A huge technological achievement. They landed a man on the moon, brought him back, and they're missing the telemetry data? 14,000 something reels?
They're missing... A lot of that stuff was not...
Because you can't fake it. You can't fake the telemetry data.
One of the things that's most irritating about this conspiracy theory for someone like me is that a lot of this stuff is really subtle and complicated. And
14,000 reels of telemetry data for the most technological achievement in human history that's not stored in the Smithsonian Institute, it's not stored in NASA vault, it's not labeled, it's not under lock and key, it's not in a gold vault. There's nothing weird about that.
I can't say anything about 14,000 reels. I don't know the number. And so,
yeah, it's
true,
like 13,000 or 14,000. I forget.
I
either way,
a lot of the original,
it's more than 100,
a lot of the original
which is crazy.
Has been lost.
You've lost more. If you lost more than 100 of the telemetry data, that's insane.
A lot of the stuff was owned by contractors. It was shelved. They weren't paid to store it. And
it's
went
NASA.
Away.
It's NASA. NASA lost it. This is the hard
NASA
footage.
NASA is not just NASA. NASA is civil servants. NASA is 10 different contractors. There was Northrop Grumman. There was North American.
Yeah,
there
Grumman
was
lost all their stuff.
Guys.
So did Boeing. They lost all their information, too, on the moon buggy, on the lunar module. They lost
so
all that stuff.
This is
how
this
convenient.
Is it's another argument brought up by conspiracy theorists. Not to me. Each one of these missions, each one of these lunar landers was different. It's not like they designed a car and then just cranked them out. They had an overall design, and then each one was different. Each one, they had to note all of these changes and everything. And it was all done on paper.
I gotta tell you, Phil, I'm not done with you, bitch. We haven't even got into solar flares. Apex of a 20-year solar cycle happened while the Apollo landings were going on. Those people would have fried up there, baby.
This is Rocky. This is Rocky. Joe did not have a chance. Joe is holding his own. Yes, there has to be another installment. Joe Rogan, Phil Plait, CBS Radio. This is Ben Gillette.
If I went for NASA, I'd fire you, bro.
Good thing I don't work for NASA.